Before we would open God's word this morning, let's turn to him in prayer. Dear holy, merciful Heavenly Father, it is before thee that we bow our hearts in this morning. Father, thankful to thee that we have been able to gather here, to assemble ourselves together before thy holy, living word. Father, we anticipate a blessing from thee. We know that thou art in our midst, Father, and we thank thee for this. Help us, Father, to have a reverence before thee as we gather, that there would be removed any distractions from our minds, that we'd be able to focus on this thy word as it goes forth, and that we would all be able to receive a blessing and an encouragement, Father. We thank thee for thy mercy. We thank thee for sending thy son to pay the price for our sins, for the sins of the whole world, Father. Such mercy is not able to be comprehended by us, Father, but we thank thee for it. For because of this, Father, we have life, and that eternally, if we would but believe in thee and put our trust and our hope in thee. So be thou with us, Father. Bless us, for we call upon thee. And we pray and ask this all in the blessed name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. With God's help in this morning, I'd like to turn and read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter number 14. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 14, beginning at verse 25 to the end. Luke 14, verse 25 to the end. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. May God bless the reading of his holy word. I believe there are times that we all go through, those of us who are converted and unconverted. There are times when we maybe hear a sermon, or we sing a song, or we read a portion of scripture from God's word, and we are encouraged. We are pricked. And we are also, at the same time, we can become very emotional. We can become very emotional when we think about the great love that Jesus Christ had for us. We can think about his sufferings, the pain, the hardship, the mocking that he went through. And it can make us emotional. It can build in our minds, we can think we have some kind of connection with our Savior. We can have these emotional experiences, and we think that from this point forward, we're going to go forth and we're going to serve the Lord with a renewed fervor, a renewed vigor. That's what the thought is in our mind, and it's a good thought. It's a good thought. Then oftentimes we go from that emotional, uplifting experience and we fall right back into sin. And even that can make us emotional. We can think, why? Why is it that But I had this emotional connection. I had this good thought that I wanted to serve my Lord, and yet I didn't. I failed again. I believe that's an experience we've all had. I know I have had that experience myself. And we can be saddened and think, why is this? Why does God not see my good desire? Why does he not see that I love him? Why does he not see that I want to serve him? Why do I keep failing? And I think the reason for that is because we have not done what Jesus has instructed us to do in this portion of Scripture that we have read. He has instructed us to count the cost. To count the cost, what it's going to cost us to serve him. It's so easy for us to hear the teachings of Jesus, to read about his life. He was a man that was kind, that was meek. And it's easy for us to identify with that. It's easy for us to want that. No one wants to be unkind. No one wants to be impatient. Everyone wants to be full of love. That's easy to identify with. But what Jesus is saying is, count the cost. What is it going to cost you to serve me? Count the cost, and then follow me. Jesus is basically saying, remove yourself from that emotional experience and think, ponder in your heart, in your mind, what is it going to cost me? What is it going to cost me to serve my Lord? If we do not count the cost, and we go from these uplifting emotional experiences and we go right into sin, what that means is we love sin more than we love our Savior. We would never say that out loud, but that's what we are demonstrating when we do not walk in the Spirit. When we fulfill the lusts of this flesh, we have not counted the cost. We want to identify with our Savior and all his goodness, but we do not want to identify with him and his suffering and his self-denial. We want to be glorified with him in all eternity. We want to be with him, but we don't want the cross. We don't want to die to self. We have not, again, counted the cost. For us to serve Jesus, for us to serve our Lord with our whole heart, it's going to cost us everything. It's going to cost us everything that we love, everything that this flesh holds dear to itself. It's going to cost us everything. If we do not think that that's true, then we are deceived. The devil will come to us and he'll trick us. He'll play tricks. He won't just outright tell us a bold lie, but he'll be sneaky with it. And he'll tell us, oh, you don't have to really give up absolutely everything. There are things you can hold on to. God understands. God understands your weakness. He understands that you love certain things. You don't have to give up quite everything. But Jesus never taught us that. Jesus never once taught us that. These are strong words that he's saying here. He's saying, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Cannot. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to be his disciples if we do not die to self. He says that multiple times. You cannot be my disciple. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Again, it's not possible. And this is not possible by ourselves. So when we fail, when we fall into sin, we have to realize that getting out of that sin, forsaking that sin, is not possible by ourselves. Try as we might, we might have such good desires, but getting out of that sin, being transformed, is not possible without his help. We have no strength of our own. And thanks be to God for that, because if we had some strength of ourselves, we would be proud. We would want to boast of our greatness. We want to boast, the Bible teaches us, of our works, what we have done. But that's not what God desires of us. He desires of us that we would be meek and lowly, just as God's Son was. We would recognize that the strength comes not within, not from within, but only from him. Jesus teaches about seed that is sown. Gospel according to Mark chapter 4 describes, Jesus is describing a sower that went out to sow seed. And it says that some of this seed that this man sowed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some other seed fell upon stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So there's some seed that was sown that fell among stony ground, not good soil. And a plant sprung up immediately. But when the sun came, that plant was withered away. It had no depth, no root. And Jesus describes that later in the chapter, what that means. He says that there be some seed which is sown on stony ground, and that is likened unto those who have heard the word, and they immediately receive it with gladness. And yet they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That can so easily be us. So easily. We can hear God's word. We can read it. We can hear a message. We can sing a song. And again, we are emotionally attached. We have this human emotion. And yet if that is not coupled with faith, if that is not coupled with counting the cost, we will be withered away very quickly. And we have not counted what it's going to cost us to serve him. Yes, we receive the word with gladness. It sounds great. We want to serve him. But when persecution arises, when we have to be mocked, perhaps, we have to give up certain things, all of a sudden that word that was received with gladness, all of a sudden it withers away. Because we are, again, relying on our own strength. We are relying on our own power, and we have not counted the cost. What is it going to cost us to serve him? Jesus speaks in the portion of Scripture that we have read, and he speaks that, and he tells us that if we do not hate our father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and our own life, that we cannot be his disciples. And we know what that really means is, and Jesus describes it in another gospel, I can't remember off the top of my head where it is. Jesus describes that and explains what that really means. If we love anything or anyone more than him, we cannot be his disciple. Does that mean we have to literally hate our father and our mother? No, of course not. What it means is, do we love them more than we love our Lord? Is our relationship with our family or with anyone else more important than serving our Lord? If it is, we cannot be his disciple. I often think how blessed we are. The vast majority of us have been raised in Christian homes, where we have been brought to church from our birth, week in and week out. And our parents have taught us about God's love. They have taught us about his kingdom. They have taught us about being a believer. How blessed we are for that. We have such an advantage. We've been saved from so much. We've been saved from so much that this world has to offer. And yet there are so many in this world that do not have that advantage. There are so many that perhaps their parents are resisting. The parents do not want them to go to church. Or perhaps their spouses or siblings, whatever the case may be. There's so many who feel a resistance from their family, telling them, don't go to church. There's nothing good there for you. It's a waste of time. Whatever the case may be. Jesus is saying, if you don't love me more than you love your family, if you're not willing to cut those ties and serve me, you cannot be my disciple. And yet he does not leave us by ourselves. He does not leave us by ourselves to come up with a solution. He says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. I will give you the strength. I'll give you the direction. I will give you the leading, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the comforter. The comforter that comes to comfort us when we are down, when we are in need, when we are in the most deepest need. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to provide us with strength, to provide us with all that we need, that we would serve him with our whole hearts. That's what Jesus is desiring here from us. So it's going to come at a cost. And the cost is going to be great. Just as the cost for our sin was so, the price that was paid was so high. Likewise, the cost for us is going to be everything. The cost was God's Son laying down his life. Where there's a difference between, we can say he died, yes, but he was not killed. He laid down his life. They could not have killed them they could not have killed Jesus if they tried. He laid down his life. He laid down his life. We think of in John's gospel, when they come to arrest Jesus, and they ask, and he asks them, who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. He says, I am, he basically is showing who he is. He's saying, I am God's name. And they fell backwards. It says they fell backwards onto the ground. How can they arrest him? How can they kill him? He laid down his life. That price was so high that was paid for our sins. So Jesus is saying, just as I have given my all for you, I'm demanding that you give your all in return for me, everything. God's going to reveal unto us certain things we have to remove from our lives. We have to accept that willingly and not resist it. Our hobbies, our interests are going to change when we become his child. The things that we consumed our free time with are going to change. And that's okay. That's God calling us. Don't resist that. Our friends, perhaps, are going to change. It's going to be those who are trying to hold us back, trying to go bring us back into the bondage of sin where they are enchained, enslaved in sin with no hope. They're going to try to bring us back into that. Jesus is saying, count the cost. Cut ties with those friends. Do you love your friends more than me? If so, you cannot be my disciple. The Bible teaches us that evil, if I'm going to quote it right, evil communications corrupt good manners. What that means is having friends with you that do not desire the best for you, if you hold on to those friends, they're going to draw you away from God. They're going to corrupt those good habits that you're trying to build. You're trying to read God's word more, perhaps. You're trying to come to church more. You're trying to have a deeper understanding of who Christ is. And yet, if you're holding on to those friends, they're not going to have any good influence on you. They're going to draw you back into that bondage of sin. Again, do you love your friends more than you love Christ? You cannot be his disciple then. You cannot. It's impossible. Your wardrobe is going to change when you become his child. You're going to look at the things you perhaps have purchased. You're going to look at them in a different light. You're going to think, these clothes are too revealing. Perhaps they're too tight. And that goes for men and women. We often focus on the women, but it's just the same for the men. Are the things that we have bought in the past, are they too revealing? Do they bring glory to ourselves and not to Christ? If so, God's going to tell us, get rid of those things. Get rid of them from your life. Cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness. Things are going to be brought to our minds that we need to get rid of that we never even thought of before. That's God working in our lives. We cannot resist that. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit showing us, directing us into the ways of Christ. Why would we not want to be transformed, become new creatures, become like God's Son? Why would we resist that and hold on to something? Why would we want to hold on to something that's so dear to us if it's going to cost us eternal life? That's really what the cost is. Holding on to self, holding on to something that we love so dearly, it's going to cost us eternal life. Is that trade-off worth it? Of course not. But we choose death every time we do not submit unto his will. Every time we desire to serve this flesh, we're not counting the cost. And we cannot be his disciples. Again, we cannot repeat that enough. If we cannot possibly be his disciples if we serve ourselves. There are examples in Scripture of those who started on a good path, who started to serve Jesus, and yet they fell away because, again, the persecution or something else came up that drew them away. We think of Apostle Paul's letter. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. Apostle Paul speaks of Demas, a man named Demas, who was with him working for the Lord's kingdom. And Apostle Paul said, he is no longer with me. Demas is no longer with me because he loved this present world. He loved this present world more than he loved to work for God's kingdom. He loved this world more than he loved Christ. And because of that, he was not with Apostle Paul anymore. How sad that is. We think of the example that's brought up all the time, and it should be, of the rich young ruler who could not give up his riches. He thought that he was doing the best he could. He thought he was keeping the Lord's commandments from his youth. And yet Jesus told him, sell all that you have and give to the poor. That's radical. That's a radical teaching. He could not accept it. He went away sorrowful. And Jesus did not chase him and say, well, you don't actually have to give up everything. He never did that. It's never recorded. The man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions, I believe is what it says. He did not want to give that up. That was too dear to him. It was more dear to him than the love of Christ. He could not be Jesus' disciple. There's a few verses here in Luke 9 I'd like to read, and the heading The heading in the Bible here says the demands of discipleship. I think it's a good heading. It's in Luke chapter 9, verse 57. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, very, very radical teaching here. Jesus is saying nothing can come before me. There can be nothing in your life that you hold more dear than serving me. These people made excuses. They made excuses and they said, oh, I have to go bury my father, or I have to go say farewell to some people. Jesus is saying, follow me. Follow me. We think of the disciples when Jesus called them. I find that amazing. When they are called, in the middle of the working day, Jesus comes to his disciples and says, follow me. And they immediately leave their jobs and follow him. They did not make excuses and say, oh, let me finish my shift. They just got up and followed him. How amazing is that? That's the call of God. That's them accepting the call of God immediately without excuse. That's what it's going to cost us. And even earlier in Luke chapter 14, we didn't read it, but it speaks about those who were invited to a certain man. It says a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. He invited many to this great supper. But many made excuses. Many made excuses why they weren't going to come. One of them said, I've bought a piece of ground, and I have to go see this piece of ground. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them, to test them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. They make excuses why they cannot attend this great supper. Are we making excuses? Are we maybe in university, in the middle of our university, and it's a struggle for us? We don't have much free time. Are we saying, oh, I'm going to wait till I finish. I'm going to wait till I finish, then I have more free time, and then I'm going to follow him. We cannot be his disciple. Are we so busy with our work, whether we have our own business or not, doesn't matter. Are we so consumed in that work that we have no time for the Lord? Then we cannot be his disciple. Is our business more important to us than our Lord? We cannot be his disciple then. It's so easy for us to make excuses, to brush off for another day what we can do today, what Jesus is telling us to do today. He says, come. How many times in Scripture does Jesus invite and say, come, come, follow me. I will show you what you must do. I will show you what great things you must suffer for my name. That's what he told Apostle Paul. I will show unto him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's not easy for the flesh to accept. Again, we want Christ, but we don't want his sufferings. The natural man does not want his sufferings. That goes for each and every one of us. We're all in that same position. We don't want to suffer. It doesn't sound good. Suffering does not sound good. It's not appealing to us. It's not appealing to this flesh. It never has been and never will be. But that's the only way we can get to heaven. That's the only way we can please him, is if we suffer. If we suffer with him, then we shall live with him. There are times when we will be mocked. We'll be made fun of. We have to be okay with that. We have to count that as a cost. What's it going to cost us? We're going to be made fun of. We're going to be made fun of when we don't go with our coworkers to the bar after work. They're going to make fun of us. And at first, that seems, when we are in the process of being transformed, when we are converting, when we're trying to serve the Lord, those mockings seem so great. They seem like such a huge obstacle to overcome. I'm going to have to change the way I speak. I'm going to have to change the way I dress. I'm going to have to change the places I go. I'm going to be made fun of. It sounds like such a huge obstacle, a huge mountain in our way. But when we submit to the Lord, and he gives the strength to overcome those mockings, they become so small and so insignificant. They don't matter at all anymore. Because we've been reborn. We've been transformed into new creatures. And we don't care anymore who makes fun of us. What does it matter? We're gonna live to please others, to worry about what others think of us rather than serving our Lord? If so, then we have our reward. We have our reward, and it's not going to be with Jesus in heaven. If our treasure is here upon this earth, then we will have no reward in heaven. Our treasure cannot be here. Our mindset, our focus has to be transformed, and that's not possible, again, by ourselves. We have to be reborn, to die to self. Apostle Paul says, I count everything that I held, basically everything that he held dear, he counted it but lost, that he might win Christ. If I can find it quickly. It's not the verse I was looking for, but it's also a good verse to read. It says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling. It's a very high calling. Jesus is not calling us to be like everyone else. There's no reward in that. Why would we want to blend into this world? Why would we want to be fitting in with everyone else? What does that profit? What does that gain us? It does not gain us the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not at all. We have to put to death this flesh. That's the only way we can serve him. There's no other way possible. Is that what we hold dear to ourselves? This flesh? Do we feel no guilt? When we think about what Jesus has suffered for us, do we feel no guilt? Do we feel no shame? Do we not feel that our sins have put him on the cross? Do we not feel it is because of us, because of our wickedness, our disobedience, that we have put him on the cross? If we don't feel any connection, if we read God's word and we come here and we don't feel anything, we don't feel a connection, what does that mean? It means we're not sorry for our sins. It means we look at our lives and the sin that we're living in and we don't care. It doesn't bother us. It doesn't bother us enough to change. It doesn't bother us to think that we have no reward in heaven. Jesus is not calling us to that. He's calling us to be radically transformed. Radically transformed into a new being, a new creature that loves not himself anymore. Loving self is so easy. Caring about yourself is so easy, but Jesus calls us to so much more than that. He says, count your brother and your sister higher than you. Humble yourself. Recognize who you are, how weak you are. Don't be deceived to think that following the ways of this world have any reward. When we become new creatures, we won't obsess anymore about things in this world. And I say obsess because that's really what we do. We obsess over many things, and our interests before we came to know Christ were all different. Some of us obsessed over following the latest, I don't know, fashion trends or celebrities or sports teams, whatever the case may be, we obsessed over those things. Jesus is saying, count the cost. You're going to have to cut ties with those things. Cut ties with those things or else you cannot be my disciple. When our phone at the end of the week gives us a report of our screen time, how much time we've spent looking at our screen the past week, is that time so much greater than our time spent in God's word? If so, it's no wonder why we fall into sin. It's no wonder why we find ourselves never being victorious over sin and temptation, because we're not in the word. We're not allowing God to teach us, to instruct us, to show him who he is. If we just sit on our phones all day, the things we might be looking at might not be sin. It might not always be sin, but we're wasting time. We're wasting time that could be spent learning. We're wasting time that could be spent growing, that could be spent drawn closer to our Lord. Why would we want that? What has that benefited us in any way? In any way at all? It doesn't. As we grow, as we become more mature in Christ, we're going to be called to give up more and more things. As our maturity, our understanding grows, God's going to instruct us to cut off more things. We cannot resist that. We have to willingly accept that, to be transformed into the image of God's dear Son. He loved him so much. He loves him so much that he wants us all to be recreated, reformed into the image of his Son. But it's going to come at a cost. May God give unto each and every one of us the wisdom to deny ourselves, to deny this evil, wicked world, and be transformed into new beings. Amen.
The Lord Jesus told his disciples that if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. At the beginning of the message, we heard that we are a blessed people because for the most part, most of us have been raised with parents that taught us of the doctrine of Christ. And so we know these things. We know these things. We know that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. But Jesus says, happy are ye if ye do them. This is where the joy fills our hearts. This is where joy comes in. That when we follow Christ, and we know that what Christ has to offer us is an abundant life. It is so much more than what the temporal pleasures of this life can give. Happy are we if we do them. So perhaps we were convicted a bit as to maybe we are holding on to some things of this life that we value a little bit more than we should. Maybe it's a little bit more than we should. That's a good thing. God says that, the Bible says that if we are convicted, then God's dealing with us as sons. And so when we are chastened by this thought that maybe we're holding on to things a little bit more than we should be, let's thank God for that. And if that was what the Lord was convicting us in this morning hour, then let's be thankful for that and let's submit to the Lord. Let's let go of those things which perhaps the Lord is showing us that we're holding on to a little bit more dearly than we ought to be. And so let's give God the thanks for his word this morning and be reminded anew that when we give up our lives, we gain an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Amen.